ESPN 97.7 The Ref presents Stan Gerard on Basketball, a weekly inside look into the University of Southern Indiana men's basketball program, featuring comments from the coach and a member of this year's USI team. Stan Gerard on Basketball is being brought to you by Tironi's, Allstott Office City, Banterra Bank, and by Martin Woodruff, State Farm Insurance Agency. Now with USI head coach Stan Gerard, here's the host of the show, ESPN's Dan Agurski.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stan Gerard on Basketball here on ESPN, 97.7 FM. The Ref, on an hour earlier than normal. Thank you very much for coming by tonight. And we'll say we're going to have one more show after this evening as well. I thought it might be next week to kind of wrap up the season after the Elite Eight is done here in Evansville, but the coach has got some things going on next week, so we're going to be back here on Wednesday night, March the 31st. That'll be at 7 o'clock, and that'll be kind of a season wrap-up. That'll be right before the Division I Final Four up in Indianapolis and things like that. So we'll kind of take that hour and talk about the off-season, kind of what is in store for this basketball team for the 21-22 campaign. Got a great crowd here tonight. Thank you for coming by. And got four players here as well. We'll have a chance to visit with some of those. No, in fact, all of them, Coach Gerard, with us, and obviously the weekend games on Friday and Saturday, no, Saturday and Sunday, and the Midwest Regional in town, and the Eagles' season coming to an end last night with a record of 12-5. And well, first and foremost, how you doing?
I'm doing, man. I don't take losing very well, especially your last basketball game. But Michigan Tech was a better team last night, and. You know, I'm hanging in there. We'll be back next year. I promised my guys that, and I made a promise to you last night. I think I did.
Yes, you
did. We will be back next year, and we're going to be a lot better, a lot better.
Well, and obviously, I mean, we've talked about this and this radio show this season. Obviously, thank all of you. You know, last week we thanked our sponsors, but for you guys to – for your patience this year, because I'm going to tell you, we've done this show from the Varsity Club room by ourselves, Stan and I. We've done it from his house to my house. We've been here once or twice. I think this maybe is our third show with you guys, and I know you always enjoy coming down here and being a part of this every Monday night, and so we just hope that next year, every Monday night during the basketball season from 7 to 8 o'clock, you can put it on your calendars, because I know you guys have called me, texted me. We're doing a show tonight, and there's been nights that we were doing a show until about 45 minutes before airtime, and then you get a call or a text and say, hey, I can't make it. We've had both coaches on. Again, a lot of the players will have a chance to talk to four of them here tonight. So, and then again, March 31st, we'll be back here at 7 o'clock for the final show. But, you know, Stan, obviously we'll talk about these two games this weekend, but, you know, and I'm sure you probably haven't had a chance today to kind of reflect on this season, but, you know, you go 12-5 and four times, I mean, you had to start and stop with the quarantine. You know, people forget about the 2 weeks right before the season was going to start. You guys didn't get it going until November, everybody else in October. What was the toughest thing for you personally, other than obviously the issue you had with your own health a couple weeks ago, but just trying to keep this basketball team together through four starts and stops?
I think the toughest thing that we endured was trying to keep these guys engaged mentally. You know, it's easy to start hanging your heads with things when things are not going your way, rather. And I think the most important thing as a coaching staff we talked about doing was just trying to find a way to give these guys hope, you know, that we will be where we were on yesterday and on Saturday. And the coaching staff did a wonderful job. Our leaders did a great job on the basketball team of just keeping hope alive and believing in the mission we had and try to make it to the tournament and make a run. So it was a well-rounded group, you know, all year. Guys kept the faith. They encouraged each other. And I'm just proud of them for doing that.
So, I mean, each and every time they just had to almost have their heart ripped out. I mean, you said, hey, you know, because of the first time was William Jewell when they were in town. And then it was after one of those other, well, the jury, you know. And then, of course, after the Truman State game, everything kind of got shut down. And so each and every time that you talk to them, okay, guys, I think we're going to go back into quarantine. There won't be any more basketball. There won't be any more practices for a couple weeks. Those of you that have to go into quarantine and, you know, for these guys to maintain that level of maturity, I thought was just exceptional this year. And, you know, you look around other parts of the country and teams basically shut it down after getting the season started or before it ever started. They just said, we're not playing.
Yeah.
And for this team, was that ever presented to them? Because I can't imagine that would even be an option to them.
No, we never talked about not playing. We just, like I said, we kept hope alive. And, you know, a lot of credit goes to our administration, John Marcol, Alex Eaton, Laura Heline, and Gabby in the training room, Mandy Fulton, and of course the president for having a great plan in place. But we had guys on campus who had roommates, and we set up a place on campus. Once guys was diagnosed with COVID, they were able to move into the COVID facility, we called, and it kind of gave some guys some separation. And so a lot of credit goes to our administration for, you know, the plan they had in place and trying to keep our guys safe. Sorry, I don't have a voice, man, and you know why I do that. I'm a yeller. I was on those officials, man, and I got in trouble at home last night. My daughter woke up and told me I was a little too much, but I'm fighting for my guys, man. I'll never stop doing that. But our administration did a wonderful job. Our guys kept hope alive and kept the faith. And, again, you know, the brotherhood that these guys have formed throughout this time is a bond they can have the rest of their lives.
Well, and again, I mean, we'll talk more about this, you know, in our final show, but it just seems like this group of guys, I mean, when I was able to spend some time with them on the road, you kind of get a sense of the cohesiveness, the friendship that develops and just kind of matures throughout the course of the season. And with these guys every single day and on the road and, you know, not having the luxury of going to restaurants on the road and basically having everything delivered every single night. I think this team went out to eat one time the entire year on the road. But, you know, they got along, and you can really just sense that on the court this year. And, again, for those of you that only got to see these kids play twice in person, you know, TV and video doesn't really do it justice. But when you look at the demeanor of these these men on this basketball team this year, I mean, this was a very, very close group.
It was, and it's going to be that way as long as I'm here. You know, we would not recruit any guys or bring guys in that's going to cause division within the group. And I think you guys saw that a couple months ago when we had to make a change with the team. You know, Jacob can speak on this when he gets up, but when we were at Indy, we did a lot together, and it was tough this year because of COVID. But, you know, we'll bring guys to my house and have some family functions. These guys are Thanksgiving at my house. I remember, I don't know if Jacob was here. We played a game in Illinois, and we took the bus to my house and parked in front of the house. My wife and her friends cooked breakfast. And my neighbors, like this big 55 passenger pulling up. But, hey, man, we try to form a brotherhood. I want these guys to never forget these moments. You know, it goes so fast. And we just try to do things these guys never forget. And, you know, this year, you know, Jacob probably was shell-shocked. We usually go to dinner and take cell phones so these guys can talk. When they hop on the bus for a game, we have a phone bag. You got to turn your phone in so you can focus. But the biggest thing is going into a restaurant, having dinner, dropping your phone off, because I want these guys to get to know each other. And this year, even in the locker room before the game, we didn't take phones because that's all they had, you know. And I wanted these guys to have some sense of normalcy. And we did the best to our ability to make that happen.
You certainly did. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the two games this week at the Ford Center. Lewis on Saturday, Michigan Tech on Sunday. This is Stan Gerard on basketball. We'll be right back on ESPN, 97.7 FM, The Rock.
Customer data falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm Agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys make a noise.
At Taroni,
ain't nothing but a pizza party.
At Taroni,
and the Main Street Boys are calling.
Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer.
So follow us down the Pizza Break Road.
All right.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise.
All right.
Pizza party at
Running a business is filled with pressures, and banking shouldn't be one of them. I'm Dane Chandler, commercial officer with Banterra Bank, and we want to be your financial partner. We know that the cost of starting, growing, or acquiring a new business can stretch beyond what you have saved. That's why we offer a variety of financing solutions, including SBA loans for small businesses. Give me, Dane Chandler, a call at 812-401-4323 to get started. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to the Monday edition of Stan Gerard on Basketball with you until 7 o'clock tonight. And during this segment, we'll talk about the two games at the Ford Center this week. And, well, Stan, obviously, Lewis, a team that came out of really, I don't want to say nowhere, but I don't think a lot of people probably at the start of the GLVC tournament thought Lewis would win that championship, but they certainly did. Beating McKendree, beating Indianapolis, and then beating Drury in the championship coming in as the sixth seed. Very talented basketball team, well coached by Scott Trost, who's been there quite a while. And a game where in the first half, Eagles were down 10, made a little bit of a run there, cut it to 4 at the half, and then certainly in the second half, the defense for USI took over, holding them to 24 points in the contest. Overall, just some thoughts on the win over Lewis.
A lot of grit, a lot of fight in our guys, because we got down early, and we threw the kitchen sink at them on the defensive end. We pressed. We did some run and jump, so we sped them up a little bit in the first half and got ourselves back in a position to finish the game. And in the second half, of course, 24 points in the second half. You know, that's how you advance in the tournament. You know, by holding teams at 24 points and under 40%. We went to the free throw line, I think 21, 22 times, and Josh did a great job at the free throw line. Tyler Martin came in, was the unsung hero. Made some huge shots, but everybody played their part, you know, even the guys who didn't play. Like I told my guys in the locker room, despite your minutes, despite how many points you scored, everybody played a major role in that basketball game. And I tip my hat off to Scott Trost and the job he's done with that group because, you know, on paper they don't look good, but when they check into that basketball game and the ball is thrown up, it's a tough basketball team.
Well, so the last time I think I called Tyler Martin's name, it was that 30-point win over William Jewell Thanksgiving weekend. And here in the first half, I mean, obviously the young man's been battling a high ankle sprain most of the season. He has spent most of it in a boot. You know, he comes into the first half, and I'm like, well, who's number 10? Oh, good. Tyler Martin. And, I mean, he doesn't hesitate, drops one from the right corner, drops one from the left corner. And I told him in the post-game interview we did with him, no disrespect, but I can tell you right now, your name and number was not part of the Lewis Scotty report.
No, it was not.
And for him to come in, so just talk a little bit about him and his season and the confidence that he has in his shot to come in an NCAA tournament game. First time he touches the ball, put it up from three and hit it.
Well, he's a shooter. And when he shot that shot, you know, he reminded me. I saw it when that shot went up, I thought about Craig Martin.
Yeah.
You know, that shot looked just like Craig Martin's. And Craig, if you guys remember, Craig Martin was a corner three-point shooter. He loved the corners. And Tyler, man, you talking about a guy waiting for his number to be called and answering the bell. He did that. You know, legacy is that playing your course just like Chance. But Tyler, I was telling someone, maybe that was you, that the best thing that happened to Tyler was we went back into quarantine so that he got healthy. Before quarantine, he was not healthy, and then after guys went down and started going down, he was practicing on one leg. And during that time we were in quarantine, he got himself healthy. And when I came out of quarantine and the team, and we had practice, he lit guys up in practice all week. He had a great week of practice. And I remember looking over to Kevin and saying, we got to play Tyler Martin this weekend. And Kevin thought I was crazy. But the things I saw him do in practice this week on that scout team, he did the same thing on Friday night against Lewis. And I'm sure he didn't make their scouting report. You know, they didn't know what he did or what he was. But when they started doubling Josh, we needed more shooters. And Tyler Martin hit some big shots for us.
Well, it really did. And then obviously down 4 at the half, and you come out again in the second half, and defense really kind of sets the stage for those final 20 minutes. And as you said, I mean, you were able to take advantage, you know, how physical it was underneath the paint, you know, for Josh. And obviously when Tyler was in there, get into the free throw line and a very good team. I mean, you know, you talk about the month of March and you gotta hit free throws, and this team certainly did that. Clayton had a big ball game, and the team, you know, shooting very well from three, 50%, one of the better shooting percentages for a game this season.
Yeah, you know, everybody stepped up. Clayton did a great job of getting downhill on his ball screens. The things I was disappointed was we got our rebounded, you know, and rebounding is toughness, and we didn't do a great job in that area. And we turned the ball over a lot this weekend, you know, just being very careless. And those were, I think, with 21 turnovers in the first game. That's 21 possessions we don't get back. You know, if you cut that in half, we win the game by 10 or 12. And the same thing on Sunday night, 15 turnovers. You know, we had more turnovers than assists. And that's not going to win you very many ball games. But, again, you know, time off, timing's not there. Proud of my guys for where we ended up, but wish we could have got a little further.
So, you know, over the course of both nights, the offense just looked like it was a little bit out of sync. And as we said, I mean, we talked in the postgame show last night about reversing the ball is one of your best friends. And was it more of the defense at Michigan Tech and Lewis took that away? Why did we struggle a little bit offensively?
Last night, I feel like, you know, watching Tech on film, they are a packed line basketball team. You know, we watched, gosh, maybe 10, 12 games, and they've been pack line all year, you know. And they come out the first play of the game, and they were sitting on pack line on the right side, but the left side, we were trying to run a play for Josh, and they had it scouted out. And the guy jumped out and started the game off with a dunk. I think they smelled blood from that point. You know, Mateo, I think they got wind about Mateo's toe. Mateo snubbed his toe, big toe on Saturday night, and he was not supposed to play. And he didn't go through a shoot around. And he hobbled around in the warm-up. And I think they saw that and made an adjustment in the locker room right before the game. Mateo had to play off the ball for the most part. Jelani had to play the point guard, and they saw an opportunity, and they took advantage of it. Offensively, yes, we stood around a lot. And you can hear us from the sideline, move the ball, move the ball. And we were like a deer in the headlights. I can't explain, you know, in timeouts. We talked about moving the ball. If you remember the second half, we ran some stuff to get these guys moving. That's how we made our run. So that's something we're going to address here in the postseason. We have a lot to address in the postseason, but that's one of the main things we got to address in the postseason with taking care of the basketball and just move without the basketball.
You know, and again, falling behind last night, 21-8, whatever it was, the largest deficit, and down 13. And I know in the halftime show, I'm going through the scorebook and other games, and you notice we were down 13 points at home to Indianapolis and came back and won that game by five. And then, boy, the first 2.5 minutes, it's 11-0 run. It's a 38-36 game. Crowds into it, and then Michigan Tech answers with about a 10-point run and just kind of, you know, took a little bit of the wind out of the sail of this basketball team. But to their credit, still kept fighting, and even down whatever it was, 20 points with 5 or 6 minutes left to go. Got a little bit more respectable, but you know what? You got a full 40 minutes. Again, some teams, you get down that many the last 4 or 5 minutes, I mean, they basically shut the tent down and the game's over, but your team kept battling to the final horn.
Well, my message in every timeout, don't look at the score. You know, with a minute and 41 seconds ago, we were still playing defense. You know, I don't have that quit mentality, and that's the same thing I'm going to instill in my guys. And we took our seniors out of the basketball game to acknowledge those guys, or put some other guys in, and we wanted to get up and still compete. You know, that's going to be our brand of basketball going forward. We're going to compete at a high level, a lot better than we did this year, rather. I'm not saying this year was bad, but there's so much more room for improvement, and we're going to get there.
Okay. I'm going to save your voice for a while, all right?
Yeah, please.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll talk to four guys. We got Clayton, Chance, Jacob, and Michael here. This is Stan Gerard on basketball. We'll be right back on ESPN 97.7 FM. The Ref.
Just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto.
Your single source for work.
Running a business is filled with pressures, and banking shouldn't be one of them. I'm Dane Chandler, commercial officer with Banterra Bank, and we want to be your financial partner. We know that the cost of starting, growing, or acquiring a new business can stretch beyond what you have saved. That's why we offer a variety of financing solutions, including SBA loans for small businesses. Give me, Dane Chandler, a call at 812-401-4323 to get started. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise.
At Taroni,
ain't nothing but a pizza party.
At Taroni,
and the Main Street Boys are calling.
Make fresh right here the best pizza and beer.
So follow us down the Pizza Brick Road.
All right.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise.
All right.
Pizza party at Taroni's.
Welcome back to Taroni's here. Stan Gerard at basketball on this Monday night. And with you until 7 o'clock during this segment, we'll have a chance, one right after another, talk to four guys on this basketball team, starting with Michael Rogers from right here in Evansville, Harrison High School, and by way of Vincennes Junior College. How are you?
I'm doing good. Glad to be part of the show again.
Yeah, you were here a couple of weeks ago with your parents. And so I guess my first question, kind of curious, when you walked out of here that night, what was the reaction of your parents?
They loved it.
Did they?
Yeah. They said they would be back, but I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, it's been very difficult to know whether we're coming or going with this radio show here. We're doing it every Monday night, but I think next year hopefully we'll have some more stability and be here every Monday. But, you know, we talked to you about a month ago, Michael, and obviously, you know, most of this last month was spent in quarantine, isolation, and everything else, getting into the two games this weekend. But just kind of your thoughts, if you had a chance last night or today, to talk a little bit about your first season with this basketball program.
Overall, it kind of started off slow just because of the COVID and everything. But I felt like as the season went on and towards the end, like as a team, we bonded real well together, and we started to get real close. And I mean, it's kind of a shame that it came to an end kind of early in the tournament, but I feel like the bond we made throughout the season, that we'll keep it going just on to next year.
So during the quarantine, you know, some guys got in the gym. You know, again, we don't need to talk about kind of from a personal standpoint, but what was the most difficult thing for you in those 26 days between the Truman State game and the game with Lewis on Saturday?
Really, it was just the motivation, just like to stay in shape and everything, because we only had, like, I think, like 6 or 7 players at practice, and I mean, it was kind of a lot at practice, just like getting back into shape and everything. And like, practice was hard with just only 6 or 7 players, but that was the hardest thing, really. But I took it as a positive because we did a lot of like running and conditioning, so by the time the tournament started, I was pretty good shape. Yeah.
And the thing of it is, I mean, you just didn't know from day to day, you know, what was going on. I mean, I think once you guys, after the Truman State game, knew, okay, we're going to be in quarantine probably for a while, then the end of the season is canceled, and then, you know, the decision was made not to play in the GLVC tournament. I hope to get an NCAA bid, and then the way that things were unfolding in the conference championship week, you know, some of these teams stealing automatic bids. And so, when you guys saw your name on that list, selection night, how relieved were you?
Really relieved. I was, man, myself, I just wanted a chance just to play in front of the fans. With me being from Evansville, that's all I really was just hoping for. Because I know we worked hard all year, and I know that we deserve to be in the tournament. And I know that the fans wanted to come out and see us in person. So that's all I was really hoping for, and I was relieved when we saw our name.
So Saturday night, when you guys come out for your pregame warm-ups and there's people cheering for you, what was that like?
Felt good. I don't even remember the last time I experienced that, like seeing fans in the crowd. Been over a year, really, so it was just a good feeling to see the fans cheering.
And obviously, you know, again, with playing the two games and the experience of playing in the Ford Center in the NCAA tournament, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is of college athletes that get to experience a postseason, but it's got to be a pretty small percentage. So with that in mind, you've been in national championship games at the junior college level, now the NCAA tournament at the Division II level. Talk about that experience for you, Michael, just to be in a postseason.
It feels good. Really just got to soak in every moment because, like you said, not that many people get to play in the postseason, let alone the NCAA tournament and the junior college tournament. So you just really got to soak in every moment and just, like, realize where you're at and just, like, the hard work pays off.
And we talked the last time you were here just about your role on this team and, you know, the initial conversation that you had with Coach Girard after he took this position, about a year ago now. So now through just 17 games this year, but as you look forward now to the off season and next year, what you experienced this year, the role that you had, and I'm sure you're going to have a meeting with Coach Girard one-on-one here probably very soon, but where do you see yourself in this program next year, and what will be the areas that you're going to really concentrate on in this offseason to better your game?
Really just the same mentality I came in with this season, just anything the coach wants me to do to help the team win, that's what I do and improve it this summer.
All right, so I think a lot of times it was the speed that you had on the defensive end. And I know early on, I think the Rockhurst game, first game of the season. I saw you play at Harrison, but not the last couple of years. I think you had a couple of baskets against Rockhurst in that first game. So offensively, you've got confidence. What about your offensive game? Where does that need to go now next year to increase your minutes?
I feel like I need to probably improve on my ball handling so I can do better on, like, the pick on the ball screens, and because that's what we do a lot in the offense, so I need to improve in that and my shooting.
This team going forward now, next year, and again with the NCAA allowing another year of eligibility, you know, with the three seniors that were on this year's team, but we'll see how many of those guys are part of the program next year. But with guys coming in, what are your thoughts as far as this team and its potential for this next season?
I'm really excited about the team we got coming back next year. I mean, I don't know if the seniors are choosing to come back next season, but if they do, that would be great. But if they don't, I'm still really excited about the team we got going on next year. I know my cousin's coming in from Castle, Isaiah Swope, so that's something I look forward to play with him next year.
Wow. So how much influence did you have in him making that decision?
A little bit.
All right. I did not know you guys were related. Well, good. Right. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about him and his ability to play. Academically, how are things going for you?
Good. I mean, it's always tough maintaining schoolwork and basketball during the season, but I did a good job of maintaining it. Like I said, it's been a weird year with COVID, really just going in and out of quarantine with trying to go into class and everything. But I feel like I've been doing a good job this year handling it well. And since the season's over, I'll have a little bit more time just to lock in on the schoolwork. So everything's going good.
What would be a personal highlight for you this year?
Maintain over probably 3.0, try to boost my GPA up, and just get better in the off season. That would be the highlight of my year.
All right, so about this season, though, playing on this team, did you have a moment or two or something you can share with us that you'll take away from this season, other than the obvious of not knowing from day to day if you guys are going to be playing or not?
I'll probably say one of my favorite moments was winning at Rockhurst. That was a really personal game, getting revenge on them. That was one of my favorite moments of the year. And then Saturday night, just seeing all the fans in the crowd for the first time and getting the win at the Ford Center, that was a good feeling.
Well, I'll tell you what, the building opened up last year, and I don't think any one game we were even close. There were a couple of games where I think it was almost half full. I just can't imagine what that Screaming Eagle Arena would be like to have three-fourths or every seat occupied. But I know you guys are going to work really hard this off season to get more fans in that building next year. And can you even envision playing in front of a packed house at that place?
Man, I can't wait. The way it was loud on Saturday night, I can only imagine how it would be in the arena back at USI.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Well, have a great off season. All the best academically here in the spring, and look forward to seeing you probably come October.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, Michael Rogers, joining us. Don, who's next? All right, Mike Rogers joining us. Jacob Polakovich now coming up. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. A pleasure to meet you. Obviously, I've watched you play for a couple of years, and every time you got in the way of one of the USI players, I'm like, damn, guy, you know, you just seem to play your best against USI. I know you had a great career there in Indianapolis, and talk, Jacob, about, you know, a year ago. I mean, you guys were getting ready to host the region. You were certainly the best team in the Midwest region. Everything got shut down the day before. How frustrating, disappointing was that for you and Lakes and King and everybody part of that team?
You know, it was hard. It was probably what hurt the most out of my entire basketball career so far, just being, you know, 2 years with those guys. Especially I was real close to the older guys on that team, and seeing them hurt the way they hurt because something that they put so much blood, sweat, and tears into it, taken away just like that. You know, it was hard, but I think that team was so close. We were able to kind of get through that, and we still talk now every day, and it was fun. It was kind of cool to get a taste of the tournament this year in my mouth and kind of see what it actually feels like to come back next year for.
Well, we'll talk about this in just a second, but I'll tell you guys, because, you know, the last two nights, I think other than Ray Simmons and Dan McDonald, Gene and I were the last people to leave the building both nights. And after the game was over, all you guys left yesterday. Mateo came out of the court, still in uniform, and just kind of looked around for probably 10 or 15 minutes, and this guy was with him, and he was the last one, as far as a USI basketball player, to leave the arena last night, 30, 45 minutes after the game was over. What were you thinking?
You know, I just, it hurt. You always want to play. You never want to lose. And it, to be in that spot and come so close to what we had worked so hard for all season and lose it like that, just, it kind of made me think never again. And, you know, I kind of want to go outside and soak in every second of it that I could, and kind of just remember that feeling for the upcoming season. And I remember I told Cheese when he was walking out past me, I just said, never again, and all he said back was, never again.
So, Jacob, let's go back then, you know, to it's probably almost, well, not so much quite a year now, probably 11 months ago, and weren't rumors coming out of Indianapolis that Coach Girard may be leaving the Greyhounds, and then once he accepted this job to come back home and be the coach of his alma mater, what was your thought process about the decision that you eventually made?
Well, originally I was mad at Coach G for leaving me, but the longer I thought about it, the more it made sense. And I remember I was talking to my mom about what I should do and looking forward for what's best for me. And she told me, why don't you call Coach G and see if there's anything hot that can happen down there. And even if there isn't, we've been close throughout the years. He would help me with recruiting anyways and help me get out to guys. And as soon as Coach G told me that this was a possible option, I knew it was what I wanted to do unless I got a bigger Division I school coming. And, you know, I'm just happy how it all worked out. I love these guys here. The support group we have, it's insane. It's honestly awesome. And it's a great spot.
Because you had other opportunities, right?
Yeah, I had a handful of other Division II offers and a couple smaller Division I. And, you know, it's when you play Division II basketball, a lot of people that haven't played, like in high school, it's the whole D1 or bust mindset. And, I mean, last year we beat Loyola at Loyola, competed with Xavier, and the level of competition, especially in this conference as a whole, is just, it's so high, and it's just such a good, it's, it's a lot better than I think it gets the recognition for.
Okay, then obviously transferring schools within this conference, you had to sit out, but then you've had some medical issues this year, and I think maybe with your shoulder, how's everything going?
Oh, that's good. I was going crazy for a while, watching practice every day, not being able to touch a basketball, and you know, I just got the okay a few days ago to start shooting free throws and dribbling again, and you know, it's been good. Being able to finally start doing more rehab and running and doing that stuff has helped me out a lot. And another thing, I learned a lot this year of sitting out. You know, I wish I could play, but being able to look at from the outside looking in at a team and kind of being closer with coaches from the past years and knowing the system, it kind of helped me learn a lot. And I think I improved in ways that I didn't see myself necessarily doing.
Well, see, and I think, Jacob, that's a credit to you because, obviously, you know, you're one of the better players of the GLBC last year. You're on the best team in the region. You know, you want to come down here and make a very good first impression. And then certainly to have to sit out and learn. So what maybe were some of the things that you learned? Because you certainly know Coach Gerard's system, Coach Aldridge, Coach Spruance, and then, you know, kind of aware of Kevin and knowing kind of what USI did. Playing them twice a year, but what were some of the things that you took from this year that you'll apply to prepare for next season?
So, yeah, before the season, I was talking to all the coaches really about what I could do this year so it doesn't necessarily go to waste for me and my potential. And I think the biggest thing I was able to learn this year is how to be a better leader without being on the court, just doing it by speaking. And, you know, it's something that was always I've always loved, you know, to kind of like high school as captain throughout high school, and you know, I kind of got away from it at UIndy, and it's helped a lot to be able to be on the sidelines and see it how the coaches see it, because you don't see the game the same way when you're playing or watching. And I've learned a lot to be able to lead guys in the right direction.
So you look at the potential for next year. You know, again, the three seniors have to make that decision, but you know, the guys coming in and. And obviously, hopefully, there will not be the restrictions as far as recruiting for this coaching staff. And I know you've got the utmost confidence in Coach Gerard and his staff. They're going to bring in top-quality individuals. So where do you see this potential for this team next season?
You know, I thought that this year I still do believe that we were the most talented team in the country. I think next year we're going to be just as good, if not better. And I think that, like Coach Gerard said, there's so much room for us to grow. I don't even think we nearly tapped our potential this season, and you know, my goal is ever going into every season is to win championships, and you know, I'm honestly willing to do whatever it takes. So,
all right, so you're off season now. Where are you with rehab? You do have some limitations, obviously, shooting some free throws. When do you foresee Jacob maybe getting into the point where you could get into some contact and you know with your teammates over the summer?
Yeah, so it'll be probably 4 or 5 more months before I can play live. It's kind of weird because at the point I'm at with my rehab, it's mainly just don't do anything that hurts. If it hurts, stop doing it. And so there's not really too many specifics yet. And I'm trying to play, though. I miss it.
Okay. Just the overall campus life of USI. I mean, obviously you guys don't have a life with this COVID lockdown or everything else, but just, you know, classes, you know, maybe interaction with some of the, you know, the students. How's all that going for you?
You know, that was probably the weirdest part coming to a new school is you get here. I didn't get to come on a visit. I mean, the only time I really, if you count it, is when I dropped some stuff in a storage unit down here and drove through campus. But not being able to be, I have one class on campus a week on Wednesdays, and, you know, I haven't really been able to get out and meet very many people for obvious reasons, and it's been weird, but I think with as close as this group of guys is, it's helped make the whole transition way easier than it could have been.
All right, so obviously 4 to 5 months, so that puts us probably somewhere around August or so for you before you kind of get back, and that's pretty good timing because that school will be starting about that time again, and hopefully everybody's back on campus, and we kind of get a near normal year next year and kind of get stuck to mix it up a little bit in September.
Yeah, excited. It's going to be a fun one. I can't wait to see what happens this offseason. I'm hoping that the rules are back to normal.
All right. Well, a pleasure meeting you for the first time, and seeing you obviously all the games, but good luck with your rehab over the next 4 to 5 months, and look forward to having you back on the court next season.
Thank you.
All right. Jacob Plakovic joining us on this edition of San Gerardo Basketball. All right. Chance Carl up next. All right. Young man that obviously has done an awful lot in his 2 years playing on this basketball team. The last 2 years, different positions, playing out of position, but doing whatever it takes. And right now, one of the top defenders on this team. How are you?
I'm tired, honestly.
Yeah, I bet. I'll tell you what, try to be 65 years old and get home at midnight back-to-back nights. I didn't take a half day off today just to get caught up. Just kind of the assessments of the weekend. Obviously, we're all disappointed. We're not playing tomorrow night, but just your basic thoughts on these last two nights.
I think we showed a lot of grit, and I think we need got some things we need to work on, but that's why we have an off season. So.
Well, and really, last year you didn't. So how much do you feel not having an off season, being shut down the first 2 weeks of practice in October, put you guys behind the eight ball from the very beginning? Do you think that you ever caught up from all the time that you lost in the off season?
No, not really. And I think it kind of showed on Sunday because, we talk all season about how playing those back-to-back games, those Friday, Saturday games or the Thursday, Saturday games, how late in the season, that's how the tournament is. You're going to have to play back-to-back. And I think it showed this year about how I had some mental lapses on defense, forgetting to stunt, and that was just part of me being tired. And, I think a lot of guys did some things that they wouldn't normally do, and it was because we were tired, and we haven't necessarily drilled that into our brains as much as a normal season would.
And this was a little bit of a different off season just as far as your training. I mean, seeing some of the video, what you guys were doing at, 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning and throughout, do you feel, at least at the beginning of the season, that from a physical standpoint that you guys were going to be in shape, and then obviously when you sit down, and obviously you had to take some time off too, just from the training that you guys did over the summer, do you feel that would have helped you physically get through the grind of the GLVC season?
Yeah, I think it helped a lot. obviously we had a lot of quarantines and we were sitting down for weeks at a time, but anytime we was able to get in the gym and practice and work out, we were working hard, and I think that kind of helped us with all the quarantines and stuff, how hard we was working in the preseason. It kind of, propelled us for the season we had.
I mean, you look at it, 12-5, and, played 17 games, and normally, accustomed to playing anywhere between 28 and 30 games, or maybe even more than that. So, you look at your year, the development that you made, the improvement chance from last year, basically playing out of position, point guard instead of, your normal shooting guard, and then defensively, how do you feel just your season went?
I feel like I had a decent season. I obviously have things I need to work on the offensive end. I got to be a little more aggressive, but always make the right play. And I feel like my defense really improved this year from last year. Last year they had me picking up, 94 feet, but I feel like this year I was picking up 94 feet with a little more pressure. So, there's positives and, there's negatives that come out of the season, but I'm going to work on my negatives and try to turn them into positives.
The thing of it was, too, you bring up a good point about being aggressive offensively. And we go back to the home game with Indianapolis there, the three threes that you hit, 9 points in that ball game. And I just thought this year you look for your shot a little bit more. I mean, certainly you have the scores on this team, and this team is not looking for Chance Cole to get, 12, 15 points every night. But I think this team had confidence in you, and you said it when you joined us here 6 weeks ago, whenever that was, that your confidence has kind of been restored. Do you feel right now you've got that confidence to apply to your off-season workouts getting ready for next year?
Yeah, I got all the confidence I need. I'm ready to work. my guys hit me, I'm going to shoot the open shot, but I just try to impact the game in more ways than one. If offense isn't necessarily what I need to bring to the table, then I'm going to dive on the floor, try to get offensive rebounds, stuff like that.
And obviously you've got the uncanny ability of drawing offensive charges from the other team. How many of those did you have this year?
I don't know. I hopefully led the team. Me and Clayton like to go back and forth about it because, I don't know, we kind of take pride in them, I guess.
Well, you do. I mean, the USI's had some great players that have taken a whole lot of charges over the years. And so highlights for you this season. Obviously the Indianapolis game would be one, but, you look back and some of these games and whether or not it was an integral part, but, big wins that this team had during the course of the season. Just kind of your thoughts.
I just honestly thought we had a good season, you know, going through everything that we went through. Nobody's ever had a season like this, you know, not knowing if you're going to be able to play or go to practice the next day. But, I don't know, I think we just showed a lot of resiliency this year, and I think that's a good sign.
Well, I do too. And as many as new players, new coaching staff, I mean, this team seemed to kind of gel them. And obviously there were some issues during the course of the season. You're going to have that when you've got, you know, 19 to 24-year-old men and new coaching staff coming in. But, you know, from the outside, at least for me, looking at this team, I didn't see a whole lot of issues that you guys, you know, maybe just kept in the locker room, but certainly it wasn't in the demeanor that you guys had on the floor every single night.
Yeah, I think that kind of shows a lot about us because it's not a normal year where you can, you know, kind of get with your team outside of basketball. Like, all we had to do this year was basketball. And, you know, sometimes if that's all you got to do with somebody, you don't necessarily want to do it with them all the time. But I feel like this team, you know, really came together and we kind of looked at practice as like our way to be together and you know, get to know each other because, you know, we weren't really allowed to, you know, go bowling or, you know, do any activities outside of, you know, basketball. So I feel like that kind of showed a lot about us that we was able to come together like that.
All right, so will you take some time off now, a little bit, Chance, before you start your off-season workouts for next year?
Honestly, I'm just going to take a couple days off, get the soreness out. But, I mean, I've had 2 weeks off throughout the season 7 times, so, you know what I mean? Like,
okay. All right. Well, obviously, 12-5, you know, a lot of teams around the country would take that. I know that's not good enough for you guys, and you can do everything you can to have come back next year better than ever. But I really appreciate a few minutes of your time, and congratulations on your season.
Thank you.
Chance Coyle and get Clayton Hughes up here for a couple of minutes. Clayton, one of the three seniors on this year's team, and we'll get some closing comments from Coach Girard after a commercial break with Clayton. All right, so how you been?
I've been good. How about yourself?
Yeah, well, not bad. We'll get to bed before midnight tonight. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that. Well, obviously an interesting season for you, Clayton, and you know, you were very forthright when we did a radio show together, wherever that was, in Quincy or somewhere, and, your position on this team and everything with this new coaching staff didn't get off to the best of starts, mm-hmm. but obviously you had a lot of people in your corner and kind of got a second chance, and to your credit, you took advantage of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely extremely grateful for a second chance, which we all deserve, and we've had guys not do necessarily severe things that I did, but at the same time, you know, it's just life's full of chances, and it's what you do when you get that chance. So I feel like I did my part and bounced back, and I'm still working on that stuff. So hopefully next year we won't have any hiccups like that. So.
Okay, so, well, you opened the door right there. So next year, where's Clayton Hughes going to be next year to put you on the spot?
I talked to Coach G about it, and I feel like this year it didn't feel right. Like, it's not going to sit well on me if I end up leaving with that, and I just feel like I owe something to this team, like a full season at that, and full season with the fans in the arena, and it's just something I want to end on and not just a COVID year and half a season and ending with a bad game and whatnot. So hopefully, I'll be coming back next year, and hopefully it goes a lot better than that.
All right, we got about 35 witnesses here, so we expect to see number 2 in uniform next year. So, you know, big ball game you had Friday night, or Saturday night, got the first basket yesterday, but Michigan Tech certainly a very, very good basketball team. What was it about their defense that really couldn't get this offense on track last night?
Oh, you know, we had a lot of guys beat up, and I feel like, me, personally, I feel like I gave in to my fatigue, and that kind of hurt us on offensively. We were just kind of real sluggish and standing around, and like Coach said, they were sharks, and they smelled blood, and they took full advantage of our back-to-back games, and they got in us a little bit, and we just made some careless turnovers and whatnot, and it just went downhill from there pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, to start the second half on that 11-0 run last night, Clayton, getting within two, the fans mm-hmm. certainly were in it at that point, and I think everybody felt pretty good about it. And then Michigan Tech, to their credit, good team, went on their own run. But, you know, after you fouled out and you're on the bench there last minute or two of the ball game, and Obviously, that was the last thing that you wanted to do was to fall out of the basketball game, but then to see the season come to an end, just kind of maybe take us through what your thoughts were just watching the last few seconds tick off last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it all hit me at once right then and there, and I remember coming off, and Coach G talked to me a little bit, and it's just like, wow, this is it. This is the season's over, and I saw Cheesy down there at the end of the bench, and he just looked all beat up, and Josh was really going through it, and it really hurt me for Josh especially, just seeing how much work him and Cheese have put into this program alone and on their own, and it's just tough to see a team go out like that, especially your own teammates. And when you got as much passion as us, and I can say that for the whole team because I've seen it day in and day out, and it's just – it makes you cry, you know, and our whole team, I think we were all rolling tears in the locker room and throwing out I love yous and things like that. So it was a tough feeling, you know, but it's something I won't forget and hopefully have to not experience again next year.
Okay, so does that motivate Clayton Hughes that just, you know, everything that this team has been through this entire season?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We've had a lot of hardships from the very beginning, from the summer to now, and it's just, you know, we kept persevering, and that shows a lot about the guys on our team and the coaches, and I think having this under our belts is going to really prepare us for next year of a full season, no pauses in the season, and we're just going to hopefully just use this as motivation and grind as hard as we can next year for a ring. So,
what was it like just to have fans behind you last couple nights?
Oh, my gosh, it was one of the best feelings ever. I forgot what it felt like, honestly. And especially our fans, we got a great group, and it was so nice to see all that red and blue out there and hear screams when we came out. So I was real grateful for that and happy we got a chance to at least experience that for two games.
Well, and obviously you're known for your defense, your wingspan, shooting threes, driving to the basket. Phases of the game that you want to work on in this offseason to prepare for next year?
I'm going to try to lose a little weight, you know, try to build some muscle, work on my speed and mobility, and hopefully that'll help me out defensively guarding the ball. And other than that, just try to work on a little more skill in my offense and get my shot going. And, you know, pretty much I just want to all-around aspects of the game, so I'm going to be working on that a lot. Chance already, we talked about it last night, we're going to be in the gym a bunch this coming season and summer, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay, so who led the team in charges?
Me, 100%. Check the stats. Stats don't lie.
Okay. All right. Well, Clayton, man, I tell you what, you just made everybody's night here by saying that you want to come back for another year. Oh, yeah. And so, hey, all the best during this off season. Thanks a lot for a great season, and take care.
Thank you.
All right. We'll come back with some final thoughts from Coach Gerard right after this on ESPN 97.7 FM, The Ref.
Benny and the Main Street Boys making noise. At Taroni, ain't nothing but a pizza party. At Taroni, and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right. Benny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right. Pizza party at Taroni's.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Martin Woodruff at Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff at Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Running a business is filled with pressures, and banking shouldn't be one of them. I'm Dane Chandler, commercial officer with Banterra Bank, and we want to be your financial partner. We know that the cost of starting, growing, or acquiring a new business can stretch beyond what you have saved. That's why we offer a variety of financing solutions, including SBA loans for small businesses. Give me, Dane Chandler, a call at 812-401-4323 to get started. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Mark's Mattress Outlet has been your local mattress and adjustable base leader for over 15 years. Mark's offers top name brands like C and S for up to 80% off other store sale prices. Mark's prices are so low we had to promise not to advertise the brand names. Stop in today while selection is best during our Mark's Madness sales event. Bring your truck and trailer and take home your new mattress today. Go to marksmattress.com today for a location near you.
New Sleep Natural luxury brand mattresses are only at Mark's Mattress Outlet. Sleep Natural specializes in temperature neutral and cooling foam technology. With the highest quality at the lowest price in town, check out our full-featured adjustable bases with our soothing massage feature and zero gravity. For the best sleep of your life, go to a Mark's location near you. Click on marksmattress.com for locations. That's marksmattress.com.
Mark's Mattress Outlet.